Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Turn to Hebrews 4. I was in my 20s and was a part of what I believe was a bit of an awakening. In fact, the meetings that came through Rodney Howard Brown affected America in such a profound way. That the outpouring at Brownsville was fruit of that. Steve Hill was a graduate of Teen Challenge. And he got touched by the fire and the power of God in a meeting with Rodney Howard Brown, became an evangelist, and ended up being the evangelist on Father's Day 1995 in Brownsville, and an outpouring took place that just, it touched the world. John and Carol Arnott were in meetings with Rodney Howard Brown in the total other place in America, got touched by God and went back to Toronto, Canada, and God poured out his spirit there. It's called the Toronto Blessing. How many of you heard of that? An airport, Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. From Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, Bill Johnson went. Now listen, no matter what you think about different people that go different places, there's always things that happen that are a little odd, don't quite make sense maybe, and challenge the norm. But that's not unusual. Martin Luther was not real popular in Catholic circles back when the Reformation took place. Not popular at all when he nailed the 95 thesis on the church door at Wurmburg, destroying indulgences and taking a stand for what is true and right and just. And he brought about a reformation. He brought an awakening, a reformation. So when I was a young man, I went to these meetings, and we talked a little bit about that on Sunday. And so I'm going to continue in this series, The Great Alaskan Awakening. And I've entitled this Approaching the Throne from Hebrews 4. And we'll read the text in just a moment. We were so overwhelmed by God's power in those meetings. You know, it's one thing to say that you've been overwhelmed by God's power, but you're still a jerk and your life hasn't changed. I'm not sure actually you got touched by God's power. There's something wrong. I've seen people say, oh yeah, no, I saw angels. I play with them every day, but they still smoke crack. So you got to ask yourself, I'm pretty sure they're playing with demons and not with angels. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Because when you have a visitation from God, you are changed. He changes you from Jacob to Israel. There's a change that takes place in the heart of a man, the heart of a woman, the heart of a child that comes encounter with God. Everyone that comes encounter with God in Scripture is changed. And that's what he does to us. He takes out the heart of stone and he puts in the heart of flesh. I'm not the same man I was before I met Christ. I've been changed. There's one thing about meeting Christ, but that's the power of the Holy Spirit. I got born again, but being baptized and experiencing the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit is very different than just, and I don't mean to minimize that, it's the greatest miracle, just being born again. It's not just being born again. Being born again is the greatest miracle there is. But the baptism and the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit is what brings revivals, what brings awakenings. I didn't always call it that, but that was the stirring and the moving of the Spirit of truth would awaken the hearts of men and women across a region, across a territory, and give them boldness. And you see that from Acts chapter 2 all the way through history. We looked at some of the modern day outpourings last Sunday, and You'd do well to go take a look at those and study those out a little bit. So in 1995, in January, I experienced a touch of God. I'm always a little apprehensive about talking about it because, well, it's overwhelming. And if you were to talk about a special moment in your life that you had with your grandmother or your grandfather, or you know, you think back about the birth of your child, and you know, maybe something that was just very near and dear. You could bring yourself back to those emotions and that experience and maybe even smell the fragrance. I was driving my car just the other day, and I looked in the back seat, and there was this little onesie left over from my granddaughter. Oh, I snatched that thing up and just, oh God. I smelled the smell of Scarlett Joy Johnson. Oh my goodness. I just began to weep, and I took another big smell. I said, stop it. I had to talk to myself. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When Karen takes a trip, I grab her side of the bed, and I'll smell the sheets. And I know you do the same thing when I'm gone also. There's something about, I know it's true. There's something about remembering. There's something about going back about what God has done. And when you do that, you can experience the same touch again. It was a Monday night, and we watched a VHS tape, and it was a VHS tape of a service that Mayor Edna and Noel were in years before at the Carpenter's Home Church in Florida. It was the night when angels sang. You can actually find it on YouTube. And you watch it. It's so dated now. It's just, my gosh, look at the clothes they're wearing. They're all weird. And then the background of the church is like a rainbow, and it's just really strange. And the music's just very 90s. But I heard heaven that night, and it forever altered me. I was ushered into the worship of heaven, and it profoundly changed me. Night after night, we experienced God's power. Night after night, we would go back, and it grew, and people were getting saved, and people were getting healed, and incredible encounters with God. That changed me. Forever. And I would go back to my little room that I was staying in, and something happened to me where I realized I didn't need a pastor. No, I mean, everybody needs a pastor. I don't mean it like that. I mean, I didn't need somebody to be on the keyboard. I didn't need somebody singing really good. I didn't need anything from anybody. And I could just go into an encounter with God. And I would sit on my... I would sit on my bed. And I'd lift my hands. And I'd just go out in spirit. Boom, just go down. God, touch me, heal me, show me stuff. And I would kind of sit up and be like, hallelujah. I remember this kid saying, what are you doing, Bracken? I said, I'm getting touched by God, man. He said, well, how are you doing that? I said, it's easy. I just lift my hands and he comes on me and I get touched by God. He's like, can I do that? I said, yeah. He's like, you mean you don't need to be in church? I said, no. So soon that whole dorm was lifting their hands and falling out on their own bed. Getting touched by God. Stand up on your feet. Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Verse 16, let us then approach God's throne with throne of grace, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's read verse 16 all together. Are you ready? Let us then approach God's throne of grace that we, with confidence, oh my goodness, let's just start over. Hebrews 4, you got a different version on the screen? What do we got? All right, let's read it. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, we lift our hands to you tonight and we thank you for your power. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and what you will do tonight. Second message in the series, the Great Alaskan Awakening, approaching the throne. Thank you. Thank you that you made a way. Bring living understanding and revelation to your people tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Think about this for a moment. If Jesus was in your house with you, I mean, he lived there. So Jesus lives at your house. You say, well, he does. Okay, yeah. But I mean, like literally, he's there. I mean, you could call him right now. I mean, would you have any problems in your home if Jesus was in your house? I mean, well, you might have them, but my gosh, he would just multiply it would help you. Literally, I mean, if you got a cold, he said, oh, Jesus, reach your hands towards Pastor Tim. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. You will fulfill the apostolic call on your life over the state of Alaska, over Puerto Rico, and every other place he calls you to. You will fulfill it. The sickness, this mystery pain, leaves your body in the name of Jesus. We pray now, healing. In Jesus' name. But you wouldn't have any problems. I mean, Jesus is there. The truth is, Jesus is there. And yet so oftentimes we don't approach the throne of grace. I mean, look at this text. Put the text back up, please, if you would. Obtain mercy. Let us, seeing that we have a great high priest pass through the heavens, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Now, this is fascinating. Let us means it's available for anybody. Therefore, come boldly. That's not sheepishly. That's not embarrassed. That's not begging. I've given the illustration, but my son, who's 22 and he's leaving this coming Monday to go take over the youth ministry, the senior high ministry in Maui. I'm going to tell you right now, he doesn't ask at all if he can go in the fridge. It is not something that he's 22 and he's leaving. He's going to have his own fridge. Can I get a hallelujah? He doesn't ask whether he can go in the fridge or not. He's in the fridge. He's in the freezer. He'll make his food. He'll make his coffee. He makes his stuff. He owns it. Does he really own it? Well, he really does. I paid for it, but he owns it. If you'll understand, let us. You can come before God's throne. Why? Because of his blood. And obtain mercy. Mercy.
Amen.
Mercy. Charis. It's kindness. It's grace. It's literally, you don't obtain the mercy, you don't obtain the kindness, you don't obtain the grace unless you come to the throne. We had a mentoring time today with our extensions, and I was so stirred. I was talking to a number of pastors on that call. I was so stirred because what happened to me was last night I came home from a hard workout at the gym. I don't know. It's maybe 7 o'clock our time, about 8 o'clock California time. And my phone rings, and it's Pastor Aaron Anderson. What Pastor Aaron Anderson did is after he left these meetings here at our power conference, he went back to California, he had church, and the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to have ongoing revival meetings. He said, well, who do I get for a guest? He said, no one, you. You're the guest. Have ongoing revival meetings. So they started Monday night. They had 400 people show up on Monday night. 17 people saved, 21 new guests. So they said, oh, let's do it again. So they did Tuesday. So it's last night, Tuesday. They called me in the middle of their meeting. When I opened my phone on FaceTime, it was like a waterfall came through my phone. The place was roaring. And I was like, oh my gosh, I started crying. I was so in the flesh before he called. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about extra. Not average flesh, extra. I got so touched by God, and he says, the Lord spoke to me that you're supposed to prophesy. I'm like, hallelujah. So I went out and just started, went out onto my deck. I'm sure my neighbors heard it because I was loud. And I began to prophesy. And he says, I told him today, he says the power of God hit the place like lightning hit the church. And it just crackled through the whole congregation. They're meeting again tonight. Do you know that would never have happened if he had not had a boldness to take action to have another revival meeting? There's so much God wants to do, but we cut ourselves short. I love Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up the mountain where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. There's help for you. There's mercy for you. There's breakthrough for you. There's deliverance for you. There's salvation for you. It's true. At the throne. You've got to go there, though. You've got to go there. See, well, I'm walking with Jesus. Jesus and I, we walk together. Yeah, yes, I understand that. But there's a difference when you position yourself and you set your face like a flint and you press in and you lay hold of his garment, you touch the hem of his garment, you lay hold of what God said and you decree it and you proclaim it and you don't stop until it changes, until the phone call comes or you get the text or you feel a shift. Over and over and over, we have been pressed to the point of utter despair in the building of this project and the call of God in seeing him fulfill purpose and destiny. And it doesn't just come to anybody who does. Smooth knees and an apathetic heart will never bring you into a place of outpouring, ever. When you're hungry and when you're thirsty and when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you really, really want to see God manifest his power, it is then that it presses you to your prayer closet. And you end up lifting your voice until he shows up. I've had times in my life it's not of any great virtue I have. But I hope you don't hear it that way, because that's not the way it is. Honestly, I just get really sick and tired of losing. And it's unbiblical. And I get frustrated with where's the breakthrough. And then it's funny how that is. And then I'll just get sucker punched and something else will sucker punch me. And before you know it, I'm starting to feel like I'm caving in. And it's at that moment. I don't know. It's because I'm Celtic. It's just the grace of God. I don't know. Something happens. And I take a couple shots and then I go, oh, no. No. I wish I would rise up like a week before that would happen. But it's kind of like you got to, I just feel like, I don't know, in the past I've taken a couple sucker punches and face shots from the enemy, and it's then I'm like, now you've woken me up now. And then I beat the fool out of him with the blood of Jesus and see breakthrough. Come on, you can live in a place of breakthrough. Breakthrough, deliverance, freedom, and power doesn't come to everybody. It's available. Let us. It's available to anybody. Not everybody takes it. Not everybody's anointed. Not everybody walks in deliverance. Not everybody has a gift of wisdom, but you can have it if you'll boldly come. As believers, we're part of a new covenant. Hebrews talks about that. Jesus is our high priest. He's our high priest. Hebrews 5. Oh, Hebrews 2 and 3 says, how should we escape or ignore a great salvation? This salvation, which is first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us, to those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Signs, wonders, and miracles
or so that you would believe that he's the high priest, so that you'd believe that he's the Savior, so that your faith would be in Christ and his word and his power. Signs, wonders, and miracles go with the gospel. It is very strange to preach the gospel and not have that. Some of you that came in here discouraged, you will leave filled with joy. That's a miracle. Come on. Some of you came in hurting, you're going to leave healed. You came in depressed, you're going to leave with joy and hope and strength and faith. You came in one way, you will leave another. That's a miracle. God takes out of this heart of ours. He changes us through salvation, yes. But these encounters of healing and miracles and signs and wonders. He's gone through the heavens as a profound, that's a profound statement. And it really refers to, let me back up. The tabernacle was built by and designed by God so that Israel could worship him and that he would be in their midst. And it's a very specific design. It was a design that God gave Moses, and you can go and look at this, a design that God gave Moses while he was on the mountain. Very specific materials, very specific measurements, all of it is important, and it's types and shadows of the greater that's to come in the New Testament. It was a model. Anybody ever make airplanes, little, you know, model airplanes, and they're to scale? I used to love gluing my fingers together with that tester glue, and then be like, oh, that's not crazy glue. It's that cheap tester's glue before they came out with that crazy glue in the 70s with that construction guy hanging on to helmet swinging from a I-beam. Anybody ever remember the crazy glue? He used to make these models and had all these little pieces. That's what the tabernacle is. That's what the temple is. It's a model. It's a model of the tabernacle, the temple, the throne. It's a model. And so when they were sacrificing bulls and rams and lambs and sprinkling blood in a specific way on the Day of Atonement, for the sins of the high priest and the sins of the people. It was all, it was like an illustrated sermon. It had power, but not to remove everyone's sin. It pointed to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb. So it was all types and shadows of the real model or the original. And so when it says Jesus passed through the heavens, it's referring to that. It's referring to he's the final sacrifice. It's referring to him being the Lamb of God. The Old Testament temple, the outer court, the inner court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. The whole concept of the temple and the tabernacle is a type, a literary type, a model. And only the high priest could go in on that Day of Atonement, also called the fast by Paul in the New Testament. And it's a picture that only the high priest of our confession, Jesus, can go. Why are you telling us all this? Because if you do not understand this, you're not going to have confidence and you're not going to boldly come before him and pray and decree and proclaim his will and see it brought into the earth. If you don't understand that your sin has been paid for, if you don't understand all that Jesus has done, if you don't understand the efficacy of the blood of Christ, if you don't understand that what he did for you and what he did for me allows us to have access to approach the throne, if you don't understand that, you'll never fall out all on your own because you'll wait for a priest. You are a priest. You wait for a worship team. You could join in and hear the worship team of heaven. Lift your hands to the Lord. Say, God, open my eyes tonight.
born.
Jesus is the Son of God, fully man, who can sympathize with our weakness, tempted at all points, yet he did not sin. You know, Jesus understands when you're lonely. He understands when you're despairing. He understands when you have joy. He understands when you're scared. He understands all those things. He even understands suicide. I'm not saying he was ever suicidal, but it is interesting to say, you look at the Gethsemane. It's at the point of death and agony. Let this cup pass from me. I mean, he wanted to do anything but go to the cross, but nevertheless, your will be done. Anybody ever felt like that? You're just not going to make it? He understands. He understands when you're going through that. Fully God, yet he's all powerful. So this verse 16 has huge theological ramifications. Let us approach or draw near. It's a significant word. It's used seven times in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 6, 4, verse 16. Let us approach the throne of grace. That word approach. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Those who come to God, it's the same word. Hebrews 10 and verse 1. Draw near and worship. It's translated draw near in Hebrews 10 and verse 22. It's profound. It's seven times. Let us approach. It's an invitation. It's an invitation. James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. I mean, that is profound, that if I come and I desire to hear from him, I desire to know him, and I draw near to him in faith, he comes near to me. Wow. And I'm not thrown out or rejected because his blood has washed me. His blood has cleansed me. I'm a new creation. I'm new in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. I have right. I have privilege. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Some of you suffer with the fact that you think you're not holy enough. You're made holy by the blood. That's an listen to me. It's an imparted. Thank you. It's an imputed righteousness, Minister Hank, as you well know. Imputed. God gives us his righteousness when we repent of our sin and receive him as his Lord and Savior. So when he looks at you, he just sees righteous stuff. He just sees his blood. He sees you made perfect in Christ. The imparted righteousness is when you realize that you fall so in love with God that you start living right. Imagine that. See, some of you are still all hooked on drugs or messed up, or you got the side hustle and the side sin, and only you know about it, or maybe your wife knows, or maybe your husband knows, or maybe a coworker, maybe you're dabbling in some things. That's only because you haven't really tasted and seen that the Lord is really good. You don't really know who you are, because if you did, you'd never do that. Why would I do that? Why would I ever mess with something that's going to destroy me, try to satisfy something? Every spiritual need I have is met in Christ. Ephesians, he's given us every spiritual blessing. So you'll start reaching for the things to try to satisfy a passion if you've not really encountered God that way and you don't really know who you are. Your identity will determine your destiny. If you don't know who you are, then you're So what is it? When are you going to be good enough? When you go to service every day? Oh, you foolish Galatian. So you read your Bible every day? Will that make it? Will that be good enough? If you read your Bible every day and you do a series of 40-day fasts and then you surrender all that you have to the poor and then you burn at the stake, will that be enough for you to be accepted by God? Is that enough? Is it? No, all of those things mean nothing. Even if you do all of that, that doesn't get you righteousness. There's only one thing that gets you righteousness, the blood of Jesus. And if you don't understand that, then you'll get caught up in this religious works like the Galatians. I mean, Paul says to the Galatians, who cut in on you? You idiots. That's my language. He calls them fools. Do you think starting in the spirit, you can now finish in the flesh? Some of you don't understand this basic foundational Christianity, that you can have an encounter with God because of what he's done.
But you've got to boldly come before him. Let us boldly come before the throne of grace and find help. You ain't getting any help from smoking weed. Ain't going to help you. Your three-pack-a-day anti-gun ain't going to help you. You said, I need money. I need money. No, you don't. You need God. And when you get that right, then he can flow money through you as you're a good steward and you learn to handle it. No, if I just had more money, you're wrong. You're wrong. No, the only thing you need is to understand who you are in God. And then you move forward in him and you come before him and he begins to form you and fashion you and fulfill the reason you're alive. And all of us have a divine assignment. Approach the throne of, you know how we're going to have a great awakening? By this coming real for people. That word approach is a word that was used for the Old Testament priests. It was never used for those who were not priests. To approach God is thought unthinkable in the Old Testament unless you were a priest or prophet, king perhaps. Never just a regular person, but Jesus leveled the playing field. He made a way for you. He made a way for me. Martin Luther understood the significance of that, and that's why he said, you don't need a priest. You are a priest. In the 1500s, the priest wrote a book called The Priesthood of All Believers. He's also responsible for really the birthing of, along with others, Origen and some early church fathers, the birthing of anti-Semitism. Wicked anti-Semitism. You know who the number one anti-Semites were? The church. And that's why Jews are very apprehensive about trusting the church. No, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. No, it wasn't okay. For thousands of years, the church tried to kill the Jews and called them all kinds of horrible names. Martin Luther wrote a book called Dirty Jews and Their Lies and all kinds of stuff. Early church fathers, Origen and Augustine and Antioch, and just horrible anti-Semitism was pushed by the church, early church fathers. You don't hear that because church, oh no, it's the church, the early church fathers. They wrote a lot of great stuff, did a lot of great things. That they missed. Or you have replacement theology, that's the birth of it. But Martin Luther's book, The Priesthood of All Believers, is profound. But Martin Luther's book said, Hebrews says here, that he who believes in Jesus is a priest. And it changes everything. And instead of a throne of judgment, oh, thank you, Jesus, it's a throne of grace. There will be a throne of judgment. Come to the throne of grace. We have a helper who wants to help us. And you got to come to the Lord in prayer. I had a great breakthrough today. It is absolutely related to the point. It related to the fact. I had a businessman say, man, I'm taking some shots. And that just seemed to line up with some shots I was taking. I said, you know something? Let's get together. Let's pray. It didn't mean take long. It's 45 minutes. I'm not even talking about 4 hours. There are times when you labor. I mean, it was 45 minutes, but we felt like, boom, something happened. Can you imagine how many things will happen? 45 minutes, you scroll more than that. You look at reels more than that. Oh, not this side. They're holy over there. Let me go over here. Oh, holy ones. Think about what you do for 45 minutes. Just think about if you took time for the next hour to press in and seek God and cross over. You can cross over by the blood. You can cross over. You've been redeemed. You said, but I'm not living right. Then repent. Talked to Jesse Duplantis today. I was on the phone with Dr. Morocco. And doctor says, oh, it's Brother Jesse. Hold on. So he comes off. He comes back on. Pastor Bracken, it's Jesse Duplantis on the phone. Jesse Duplantis, Pastor Bracken. Now, I've met him before, but not in many years. He says, hey, Brother Bracken. Guy's like so cool. Anyway, he's coming. We're making plans. He's going to come and preach here. We're looking forward to that.
No, we're going to lock down the date. You hear his testimony about how he went to heaven and the curtains blew straight up in his room. God wants to bring you into an encounter, but if you don't take your faith to understand it's for you. I'm so glad for the sovereign moves of God where, you know, I ate 75 bonbons and chewed half a pack of gum and I go to sleep that night and he still comes and visits me. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful the sovereign. In other words, it wasn't any spiritual effort of mine to press in, but I'm also understanding that the Spirit on the bride says, come. It's both us desiring God and God desiring us. And if we position ourselves, things will happen. An awakening does not happen on its own. Angels can't preach. They're not allowed to preach the gospel. Only you can. Only you can invite your neighbor. Only you can reach to someone. Only you can come before the Lord in prayer. And people can come for you, but it's not the same. Got to have confidence. The word confidence is boldness, assurance. Well, it's this picture, and you see it in Romans 8 and verse 15. It reflects the idea, this confidence. It's like a child approaching a loving father. Hebrews 10:35, so don't throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. Hebrews 3 and 6, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence, don't let go of your confidence before God. He said, well, I don't have that much. Well, stand on that which you have and use it. And what you'll find, I've just seen too much. I've been around too long, seen too much, and I'm glad that there's more yet ahead. I'm long convinced. The angels that came and visited me, and I've shared this before, they came and they visited me, and I was rebuked. And the Lord said, you're not fully persuaded. And I thought, oh, shoot, I want to be fully persuaded. So I repented on the spot and began to look at the promises again, because God will come through for you. He will heal you. He will deliver you. He will provide for you. But Abraham was fully persuaded and saw the promise of God, even though when he looked, his body was dead. You can have all kinds of circumstances that say it's never going to happen. You ain't going to see the breakthrough. Na 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 foo foo. You can, if you believe it, if you find a word from God that says it, he'll bring one man down, he raises up another, you stand on that thing and you push hell back. Amen. Well, it hasn't happened yet. Well, then you're not done praying yet. Let us hold to our faith, verse 14. Let me read the scripture, 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So in other words, if your heart does condemn you, that doesn't mean you pack up your whole camping trip and just go home with your tail between your legs like a little scalded dog. If your heart condemns you, repent. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to forgive you. And truly repent, not worldly sorrow, but godly sorrow, and ask him to forgive you. And then set your life up to change. Confess your faults to someone. Not sister or brother bucket mouth, but confess to someone who will love you and stand with you and agree with you and hold you accountable. We all need each other. We're accountable to each other. You living right? I know it. Amen. Me too. Why don't you ask the person next to you? Let me give you a quiz. Ask the person next to you if they're living right. Now, if they go like this, they're not. Okay, so just go ahead, ask him. Are you living right? Me too.
We need people like that that'll ask us. Don't allow the enemy to get you over into condemnation and then they're never coming before the throne of God's grace and finding help. You won't get any help anywhere else.
Obey his commands. Do what pleases him. Pray according to his will. What's going to happen in the birthing of this awakening, it might have begun already. I've had people say, oh, you guys are already in revival. My picture of revival is not just a freedom. There's some freedom here. I'm grateful for that. It's not just an anointing. I'm grateful for that. People getting saved, I'm grateful for that. That's not my picture. That's not what I've seen. Let me tell you what I've seen. What I've seen is multitudes and multitudes. I've seen an awakening with power and demonstration and blind eyes opening and deaf ears being unstopped and the poor saying, I'm rich, and the speak strengthened with might in their inner being. I mean, the power of God coming down and a line of, I've seen a stream of cars coming straight to the building across the flats. I've seen 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 services packed out, lobby full, over and over and over. That's why we built a building so big. It doesn't seem that big anymore, does it? Because it's not. I've seen an awakening. I know there's freedom, and I'm grateful, but until you understand this scripture, you will not walk in the power and the authority that he has you. You've got to learn to approach the throne daily and receive grace, receive power, receive favor. And to the degree that you approach the throne is the degree that you'll have help. Oh, real help. Not just the help of some psychologist, some psychoanalyst. I mean help from the throne. Help from the throne changes everything.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. May God's face shine upon you.